Welcome to this week's installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit, where each week we examine our scriptural readings to learn something more about the person and the activity of the Holy Spirit. This week's readings come from the Psalms. And as has been the case in some of our previous weeks, there are very few direct references to the Holy Spirit in our readings. In fact, there is only one direct reference, and that is found in Psalm 139. And we're certainly going to look at that direct reference and all of its implications for us. But before we do, I want to look at another psalm you read this week, Psalm 22. As you began to read it, it probably sounded rather familiar, and for good reason. This was the psalm that Jesus quoted when he was hanging upon his cross. It's a psalm that was not only quoted by Jesus, but one that described his experience of crucifixion in miraculous detail. And I say miraculous because it was written by David centuries before Jesus died. David couldn't have had any idea that the Messiah would hang upon a cross. David was convinced the Messiah would one day come, but he had little insight beyond that. So the fact that his words would describe exactly, in intricate detail, the crucifixion experience of Jesus reminds us once again that the Holy Spirit really is the invisible author of Scripture, that all Scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. The various writers use their own particular styles in recording the impressions the Spirit made upon their hearts, but the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. And the fact that Psalm 22 so perfectly identifies with Jesus' crucifixion reminds us that when the Holy Spirit speaks, His speaking is always based on the knowledge of what lies ahead. When he revealed those words to David, he knew that the cross was in the future. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, his speaking to you is grounded in his knowledge of what lies ahead. That's why it's so important to be able to discern his voice, because he's preparing you for the future. I also, in Psalm 22, see a reaffirmation of another activity of the Holy Spirit. We've already seen that the Holy Spirit reminds us of the teachings of God's Word. Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll bring to your remembrance all that I have said and all that I have done." That's why we have the epistles of the New Testament. The Holy Spirit brought to the mind of the apostles and the writers the activities of Jesus. But Psalm 22 reminds us that just as he brought to the minds of the disciples what Jesus said, there was a point in history when the Holy Spirit brought to Jesus' mind what David had said many centuries earlier. And let that be an affirmation that he will bring to your mind what God has said in those moments when you most need it. But I would offer one brief caveat. If the Holy Spirit is going to bring God's word to your mind when you most need it, you will have to have read it, because he can't bring to your mind those things that you have never read. Now let's jump over to Psalm 139, where we have our sole reference to the activity of the Holy Spirit. It's found in verse 7 of that psalm. David in Psalm 139 is talking about God's omnipresence and God's omniscience. Two unfamiliar words that simply say God is present everywhere in his universe and God knows everything that's going on in his universe. And as he reflected upon that, David said in verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?" Those words remind us that the Holy Spirit is continually with us. He has been described as the invisible Christ dwelling in the visible believer. And when the scriptures tell us that Christ in us is our only hope of glory, this passage reminds us that Christ dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself is seated at the right hand of the Father, but through the Holy Spirit, he indwells every believer. And I want you to reflect upon that fact for a few moments, and I want you to do so by thinking of how you might respond to this question. Since we know that the Holy Spirit, the invisible Christ, is with us continually, let me ask you, if you could see God with you, would you act differently? If the Holy Spirit made his presence visible to you so that you could see him just as clearly as a family member across the table or a coworker in the next cubicle, if everywhere you went, if you're in your every waking moment, you could see the Holy Spirit with you, would you ever be afraid again? I think not. In fact, I'd like to suggest if you could see him, his presence would override anything that might confront you. If you could see God, I don't believe you would fear again, but more importantly, if we could see God with us, I doubt if we would sin again. After all, if you could see God's presence with you, might that impact you when you're tempted to view pornography, to say an angry word, to pass on vicious gossip, to falsify your tax return, to buy that impulse item, or to complain endlessly about the time you have to spend in preparation for serving God and ministering to others? I mean, that list could go on and on and on and on, but I think by now you've got the point. If we could see God with us, we would act differently. Well, Psalm 139, verse 7 reminds us, though we cannot see him with the eye, he is with us. We cannot flee from his presence. If we go into the heavens, he's there. If we go into the place of the dead, he is there. Years ago, a Christian monk by the name of Brother Lawrence wrote a little classic called Practicing the Presence of God. It was his attempt at translating Psalm 139, verse 7, into his day-to-day experience. And he found that as he intentionally contemplated God's presence with him, it transformed every activity of life into a joyful expression of devotion to God. He sensed the presence of God as he was washing dishes, as he was baking bread, as he was cleaning around the monastery, as well as when he was in prayer and in contemplation. One closing remark before we end this week's instruction. In our previous week's considerations, I've intentionally pointed out to you places in our readings that affirm the sanctity of human life. And this week's readings contain another example. Considering God's omnipresence and God's omniscience, David said both of those things extended into his mother's womb. Listen to what he said in verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Those are profound words. David wasn't describing fetal tissue that could be discarded at the whim of humanity. He said that God saw his unformed substance when his being was in its earliest moments within his mother's womb. He recognized God was at work, that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, that his frame, his structure, was not hidden from God. Again, that hardly sounds like a description of something that is to be dispensed at the whim of man. So whenever we talk about the activity of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about his activity in human lives. And inevitably, where the Holy Spirit is present, there we find something sacred. And when the Spirit is present, even in the womb, it reminds us of the sanctity of life. I pray that you'll have a great week looking for the Holy Spirit. And let me suggest that you ask God to help you visualize his presence with you, especially in those moments when you're tempted toward evil or those moments when you feel you need new strength. God bless you. Have a great week walking with the Spirit.